he's a truth teller. And four, he's very good at what he does. He has a great personality. Plus, he loves the sport. He doesn't take himself too seriously. You put all that together, and you got the great Dan Dockich, who joins us now on the precipice of the beginning of March Madness. Dan, how you doing?
I think that's the best introduction I've ever received. I need to tape that. And, you know, like the president plays Hail to the Chief when he walks in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to play that when I walk into my kids' rooms or my house, just so they understand the greatness that they're dealing with.
The greatness that they're in the presence of.
Yes.
But you are really great at what you do, and we've talked to you a couple times during the year. The thing about you is you love it. And another thing I like about you is you understand from being on this side of the microphone now after all those years as a coach, you understand from being on this side of the microphone that what we say here, it's not directed personally at the coaches. I mean, me, I just want to see and wanted to see Tennessee all year, for instance, in this market, play to their level, which that isn't too much to ask, is it, when they're as talented as they are?
No, that's it. I mean, and you know what? You're not saying anything when you say that Konzo isn't saying. You know, you're not saying anything that the assistant coaches aren't saying. You know, it's funny, a kid, Brandon Dawson, broke his hand, and he was listening to some comments I made, and they were simply, you know, Brandon Dawson's the key. He's got to play with energy. He's got to play. Kid from Michigan State, so he pounded the table, broke his hand. And Izzo called me up. He goes, you weren't saying anything we haven't been saying. And so that's exactly right. And a lot of time, my goal in broadcasting, two things. Number one, I've got to make Tirico laugh because Tirico is such a pro.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, the best, and he's really smart. But to make him laugh and forget he's on the air is my goal every game. But the other thing is to have coaches come up and say, hey, we use this with a particular kid. And that's how I look at, you know, broadcasting. I'm not necessarily sure I did when I was around Coach Knight and when I had my own program, but that's how I do now.
Let's go back to the Coach Knight days. And it's been 30 years since your magical defensive performance against the great Michael Jordan. There are two people in the history of the world who've shut Jordan down, you and the great Dean Smith. So with that in mind, as a player, getting a chance to play in this event, what's it like for these kids? How special is it?
It's like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's like, you know how we all, well, you guys have it year round, but in the Midwest where we're at, when spring comes and you have that one spring day where the birds are out and it just smells differently, that's exactly how the NCAA tournament feels to a player. Practice is much better. It's just lighter. It's like the weight of the world is off your shoulders and let's go. Now, there are some teams where the weight of the world gets on their shoulders, but, you know, even when we were in Indiana and I was a player and we were supposed to be good and all that, you just felt like springtime, truthfully. That's the best way I've ever described it. Like Coastal Carolina, those kids are so excited, you know, to be in there. And a team like Harvard, okay, it's their third year in the tournament, but still, I promise you, it's the same feeling as their first year. You know, a team like Duke that goes every year, I promise you, for these kids, that's what it feels like. It's weird. The coaches are happier. They're grinding now. Everybody's grinding because you got to get them. You got to, you know, prepare. You got to find. You got to talk to everybody. I had five guys text me, hey, have you seen this team, that team? So you're always trying to find somebody, but I'm telling you, man, it is like a breath of fresh air to everybody in the program.
And compared to 30 years ago, in my mind, and I'm not just saying this because you're on here, college basketball was so much better than it is now. In terms of just the depth of the teams, in terms of the style of play, in terms of the quality of basketball, I just don't think there's any question that at the collegiate level, especially back then, you played in the glory era. I mean, if you look at some of the guys you had a chance to go against, there were Hall of Famers all over the place. And with that in mind, now it seems like this event is, like I look at this year's field, and there might be a dozen or so, maybe even more than that, teams that I could think about cutting the nets down. What do you think?
Well, two things. One of the reasons it was, you know, better or whatever back in the day was you had Patrick Ewing as a senior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you imagine Greg Oden as a senior, Durant as a senior, that kind of stuff. And that, you know, that makes a heck of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the tournament and what you're saying, Tony, there's no doubt, man. There's two things, you know, I'm sitting there going, all right, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's 5-2 since Durant, or since Smart came back. Smart's probably playing better than he's played all year. He makes others better as a first-team All-American, and you're going to have to face that, you know, in the second round, possibly, if you're Arizona. And then I look at the bracket with Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky, Wichita State, Duke, Michigan, and I'm sitting there going, man, that's a Final Four if, you know, whoever comes to Indianapolis for the regional. Now, I don't know that they're all great teams because there's a lot of freshmen and things like that, but, you know, Iowa State's a team that you could make a real case. That's a Final Four team. There's a ton of them. There really is. Alford's team at UCLA just beat, you know, maybe the best defensive team in the country and did it by scoring 75. So there's a ton of teams. I agree. Back in the day, you kind of, you know, Duke, Indiana, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, North Carolina, Georgetown was rolling. That's, you know, that's kind of it. St. John's, McMullen, and those guys were there. But now, heck. And the other thing, Tony, is this. My son just told me the other day, we played AAU basketball. I coached AAU basketball, my son and a bunch of kids. We went all over the country. And we had a good team. Kid went to Michigan. Kid started for Evansville, you know, whatever. He told me, he said, Dad, you know we played against Joel Embiid? I said, no, we didn't. He said, yeah, he barely played on his AAU team with Chris Walker, the kid from Florida, Casey Hill. You know, I remember that team. I remember Embiid. And then he started describing him. I said, oh, yeah. So these kids have all played against each other. Mm-hmm. They know each other from the time they were in eighth grade on up. And I think that makes a hell of a difference as well. You know, I remember when I went to camp, five-star camp, Greg Dreiling. You remember that name?
Absolutely.
Greg Dreiling, I read, you know, you never saw a guy play, but I read in an article that he could palm a basketball with his pointer finger and his thumb, just, you know, and pick it up. So I go to this camp, five-star camp, and, you know, all these guys are there, and I'm like, yo, man, can you pick this? So he does it, and that's all I knew about the guy. I didn't know how good he was. I didn't know he was a big guy from Kansas or whatever that could pick a basketball. Now these guys have all played each other from eighth grade on, so it makes it – there's no intimidation factor, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Let me ask you something. We got a piece of breaking news here. It just came in to us here at Studio Control. Auburn has just announced that they've hired Bruce Pearl as their basketball coach. Your thoughts on that?
I love it. I was with Bruce 2 days ago. We did a bracketology show, right? And so on the air, I said, come on, Bruce, you got any news to break? Let's go. Let's talk about Auburn. He gets all random, man, you know. And then when we went to commercial, I screamed out War Eagle. And he laughed so hard. That's a perfect fit. That's a perfect fit for Bruce to come back to a league he knows, to energize, and you guys know, energize a fan base. He didn't throw out his orange ties. So I'm happy for Bruce and Steven and Auburn. I know, and I'm happy for Konzo because he doesn't have to hear it anymore that, you know, bring back Bruce. So good for everybody.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, how would you like to be Konzo here and be sitting there and have a petition signed by 36,000 people that don't want you as coach?
I did that at Indiana the last seven games when I was interim coaching. Some guys that were my friends were actually calling newspaper guys to get Coach Knight back. And I'm like, wait a second, I got the job. What are you calling me to get Coach Knight back? What's wrong with you, fool? So I know where Konzo's at, and I can appreciate it, not to the same level or over the same length of time. But, look, Brad Stevens said to me one time, I asked him, why does Butler go to the final game twice? He goes, Dan, the main reason, we got good players. The second reason, everybody in our building and all of our fans, we're all moving in the same direction. We're just all moving in the same direction. Now, everybody's kind of behind each other. There's no negativity on a daily basis. You don't have to sit there and listen to, you know, assistant AD being mad about something. He said, we're all moving in the same direction. Hopefully that's what happens with Tennessee.
That's really been interesting here. Now Tennessee gets to open up with Iowa. I'd like your thoughts on that matchup.
I think it's a good matchup for Tennessee. Because Iowa, well, I think Tennessee is going to play the way Tennessee plays. And that's been good lately. It's been, you know, obviously much better. The key is going to be how Iowa plays. Because, Tony, I had Iowa in the tournament, Big Ten tournament. We did their game. And I have never in my life seen a team not speak to each other, be less communicative, be quieter than Iowa. And consequently, they got beat. And it was like, wow, you know, what happened to these guys? Because earlier in the year, they were rolling pretty good. I mean, they were scoring. They were, you know, you didn't notice a lack of communication. You just noticed whether they won or lost. But, man, oh, man, they have talent. They're too deep. Devin Marble's really good. Aaron White's really good. But I think you can get physical. I think if you move the ball a little bit, push the ball, you can get good shots against them. And if they'll run, they'll try to score. They'll try to score in the 80s and beat you that way. But, man, oh, man, I think that's a pretty good matchup. A month ago, I would have said not a great matchup. But the way they're going right now, I think it's a pretty good matchup for Tennessee.
Can Tennessee, if they get to Duke, do they have the ability to beat a team like that in your mind?
Here's what I say about Duke, all right? And Roy Williams actually called me when he heard me say this and said, you know what, you're absolutely right. When Duke gets in a game, whether it's Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, where the other team's got real talent, what happens with Duke is basically on Duke. If they go 3-for-25 or, you know, 8-for-36 from the three-point line, they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. If they shoot over 35%, they're going to win. Or be right there to win. And that's the only team in the country that I would say that about. I don't know. Maybe Cal Poly does the same thing. I have no idea. I'm just talking about the teams that I see every day or watch every day. So, yeah, you know, but you got to guard the three-point line, and you got to make sure Jabari Parker or whomever doesn't get any garbage, doesn't get any loose ball, rebound, tip in, you know, things like that. But absolutely, if Duke doesn't shoot the ball well, I think they're vulnerable. There's a lot of guys walking around ESPN that think they're vulnerable to Mercer in the first round. But we'll see. But if they don't shoot it, absolutely. No question. If they shoot it, they can beat anybody in the country. And by shooters, I mean, you know, 12-for-22, something crazy like that.
The truth is, they're not what Duke's been in years past.
No. Jabari Parker's great. Other than that, I don't know that they have another first-round pick. You know, it's funny. Jay Williams and I were talking, and I forgot his team. You know, I don't know, it was 2002 or wherever. It was Dunleavy, him, Boozer, Battier, Sheldon Williams. I mean, these were, like, that's all on the same team. No. Duke's not, no. Nobody's what that team was. Nobody has, you know, maybe Kansas, because they've got two guys that you're probably going to look back on in Embiid and Wiggins and go, oh, God, they were on the same team? But no, absolutely not.
What's your favorite matchup, if you have a couple? Give me a couple favorite matchups in the first round.
All right, I'm looking at Western Michigan beating Syracuse, and I'm going to tell you why. Western Michigan's coach, Steve Hawkins, is a great coach. I mean, really outstanding defensive tough guy, but more than that, offensively creative, and they played against the Syracuse zone, not with the Syracuse athlete, but the Syracuse zone, because the Eastern Michigan coach, Rob Murphy, was Boeheim's right-hand man for about 10 years. They have two guys that are fifth-year seniors, a big kid, a 6'11 skilled kid who's already been invited to Portsmouth and all the NBA stuff, and then a 6'3 tough guard, David Brown, that can go get fouled and can get inside of a zone and is really comfortable playing in the middle of the zone. So that's one matchup that I'm looking at. And the other thing, I want to see what Stephen F. Austin does. I'm not big on picking upsets in the first round, but I watched a little bit of Stephen F. Austin, and, man, they run great offense. They haven't lost. Well, they haven't lost since, I believe it's November. They've got two losses on the year. VCU is good. I've watched them four games. I broadcast four games of theirs or three. I can't remember. They're good, but without Melvin Johnson, they lose the score. Stephen F. Austin may lose, but it's going to go down the wire. And the other one I'll give you, first round, 15 versus 2. Don't be surprised if Milwaukee, Pearl's old team, isn't fighting right down the wire. I mean, right down the wire with Villanova. They may not win it, but that thing's going to be close late.
16 versus 2. Call the shot. Go ahead. Hey, I'm cheering for my buddy Martelli. I want to see Martelli get to the 16. So let me ask you something about the NCAA. And we're going to bring Jerry Palman here later on today, Midwestern guy like yourself. Now, we argue. I argue with him over and over again. I had Monte Ross on yesterday, who's the head coach at Delaware, who is a hilarious guy. If you've never talked to Monte, and he's done a really nice job there, by the way. But yep. He says, you can't tell me behind closed doors that those guys in that selection committee don't put matchups together for television purposes. This is a TV show, after all. Do you believe that, or do you believe, like they tell us, that it's just a blind seeding of teams, and what happens out of that happens?
I believed what Coach Ross thought until I went through the mock selection. And here's the – I go through the mock selection, right? They bring you in from Indianapolis. You should get on there. You really enjoy it. All right. Now, you don't even talk about matchups even a little bit in this mock selection process, okay? You spend all day. Now they spend 2 days, but we spent all day. Like, got there at 8 o'clock in the morning, got out of there at 10 o'clock at night, putting this bracket together. The bracket is done, all right? Now, Steve Scheer, who's a producer for CBS Sports, gets up there, and he says, all right, now for you conspiracy theorists, let's go through the bracket. And we haven't talked about anything, Izzo against a former coach, or this matchup would be great for that matchup. You know what I'm saying? And he went through about 30 different things where people would say, well, of course this is for TV. Jordan Seibert transferred from Ohio State to Dayton, and now he's coming back. He's the leading scorer at Dayton. Now they're playing Ohio State. Of course that was set up for TV. I'm telling you, my experience as a head coach, I came out and ripped them when we didn't get in 2000 and 2002 and said there's backroom deals. Nobody can tell me differently. Going through that experience, and the experience was great and all that, but when Scheer got up there and said, all right, let's look at this. Made for TV? Did we do it on purpose? Was it because these two guys are assistants? These two guys don't like each other. It's public, and we're playing them against each other in the second round. And that told me no, and I don't buy what your coach said there. No.
Hey, Coach Dockich, it is terrific talking with you. See, I love the fact that you didn't go, hey, I'm going to agree with you, blah, blah, blah. You just blew smoke up my backside. You said, listen, man, I disagree with you. Here's the deal. I went through it. I walked through it. And you walked through it open-mindedly, which I can appreciate. I hope you'll come back as the tournament unfolds and spend some more time with us. And my best wishes to you. And are you getting a chance? I know you've got different network obligations, but sometimes guys cross over. Will you be doing any games?
No, the only guys they let cross over are Lenny Elmore and Raftery. Those guys are grandfathered in on that. Billis used to, but I think they stopped him when he got his new contract. So, no, I wish that was. I wish that was. I'm going to be tonight. I've got I'm in D.C., actually, West Virginia versus Georgetown. And then I go back in studio, and I'm hoping to get out of there Saturday to go watch my son's Michigan team up in Milwaukee. So.
Well, good luck.
It's a great week, though. And all you got to do is call me. I'm available anytime. I got no life.
Dan, thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Hey, good talking to you. We make a perfect pair. Bruce Pearl will be the next coach at Auburn. I want your thoughts. 865-200-5402. Keith Hatfield told us. Let's take some calls. Brian, tell Randy we'll get him later on in the hour. I got to take some calls on this. Breaking news. Bruce Pearl is the new head coach at Auburn. I want your reaction right now. Let's load the phone lines, 865-200-5402. Are you upset with Tennessee? I told you that it was never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. It was, and you know what? It was never going to happen. And I took some shots, but it was never going to happen. It was not going to happen. But now, since Auburn's jumped the gun here, and Michigan and Virginia Tech popped their coach, after 2 years yesterday, Tennessee is sitting here. Now their hands aren't tied anymore on the Conzo Martin deal. 54-year-old Bruce Pearl fired in 2011 after taking the Vols to the NCAA tourney in each of his six seasons. Was at ESPN the last couple of years? And Auburn fired Tony Barbie last week, and they wasted no time. No time. And I think for Bruce Pearl, this was an absolute reach, in my opinion. He could have gotten such a better job than this. But that shows you how badly this guy wanted to get back in. And Auburn took advantage of a situation where many schools were going to have to wait. Auburn obviously is going to have to petition the NCAA. And if not, they're willing to wait. And I do look for his son to join him on that staff. I also look for Tony Jones to go with him. 865-200-5402. So congratulations, Coach Pearl. Congratulations, Auburn. Congratulations, Stephen Pearl. Congratulations to everybody involved but the 36,000 that signed that petition to them. This is a dark day in Tennessee basketball history as Bruce Pearl not only returns to college basketball, but returns to college basketball in the Southeastern Conference.